ladies, that might be, that's hard for me to have a favorite. That's right up there. I got about 35 top number ones, and that's one of them right there. Whichever one y'all singing at the time, I think. I'm amazed that he loves me. See, y'all don't know me. Y'all know what I show you.
That's right.
You don't know me. And I'm amazed that he loves me. I'm amazed. I sure am thankful. I sure love him tonight. Well, I'm going to give us some thoughts this evening. And Brother Teddy is always praying, God, don't just challenge us, but change us. And Brother Rick mentioned that this morning, evening, in his lesson, and said someday we're going to be changed like we're supposed to be. But until then, we got to work on some things. And we need change as we go. Now, I'm not talking about to modernism. I'm talking about being conformed into his image. Being changed. We're not talking about newfangled. No. We're talking about being conformed into his image. And I mentioned something this morning that while I was starting to preach that has stuck with me all day, and I can't get shut of it, and I feel like the Lord has given us a few thoughts on that tonight. So I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. I want you to be changed. And I want you to listen. All right? I wish the whole church was here, but they'll have to listen on live stream. So, again, we welcome live stream in tonight and the best we can. And we might get kicked off again. You never know. But we want to honor the Lord the best we can. Everybody all right? Turn to Acts chapter 17. Father, I come tonight. Lord, I understand full well that I'm nothing. Lord, that you are everything. Lord, there's nobody like you tonight, and you're worthy of every ounce of energy that I have, every ounce of strength, every bit of mind, every ability that you've given me, whether it be with my hands or with my mouth, it don't matter, Lord. I need to use everything you've given me for your honor, for your glory. Lord, I need to be conformed into what you want me to be, not what I want. Lord, not what I desire. But Lord, I want to be what you want me to be tonight. Lord, I pray that we all might see that. But Lord, there's one thing that we all can be. And Lord, I pray tonight that we might see the necessity of being a witness for Jesus Christ. God, I pray tonight that some way, Lord, you will speak to us all. Cleanse me, oh God, I'm asking, please, cleanse me from anything like sin, anything at all, and help me to honor you this evening. Give me power as you see fit, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name, and amen. This morning, that when I was starting to preach, and we were talking about the resurrection, and I told you about the little text that I send preachers on Sunday morning, and we communicate back and forth. A lot of us between 6:30. A lot of us communicate back and forth. Joe Chansey from Georgia, David Nix, Tony Shirley, a bunch of men, Brother Boyd and Ryan Prescott, Mike Long, Joe Schaefer, all this little whole list of preachers. Andy Wells, Doug Grains, many preachers, Paul Moles that we talk to every Sunday. And for encouragement, they encourage me, I encourage them, because we all understand that going into the pulpit, it is a battle, and we need the Lord. And this morning's message that I texted them this morning was that Christ is risen, he is risen, that is, we have the message. And then preach on. That's what I've always told them for years. I've done this. It's always been preach on, preacher, preach on. That's what I always try to encourage. Sometimes that's all the message it is, just preach on, preacher, preach on. But we don't want to quit. And tonight we have that message. When Christ arose and they went to look in the tomb, when they told him, said, look, see where the Lord lay. He's not here now, it said. He's risen. Go and tell. And he told them to go and tell the disciples. Go to tell the disciples what had happened, and that everything that he said was true. And we know that. And he went, and Mary and him, they went, and they told the disciples. And the message after the tomb was that he had risen. Well, after that, if you look through your scripture, everywhere after it, the message never changed. From that day on, the message never changed. And he's not here, he is risen. Like he said, and that is, this is Jesus whom you crucified. This is Jesus whom was delivered. This is Jesus whom you crucified that was dead, that the pangs of death could not hold him. All through the scripture, we know many places in it says that he arose, and that was the message. And that's what got people in trouble. It wasn't the preaching. It was what was being preached that got people in trouble. It was the preaching that there was another king, that it wasn't Caesar. That there was another king, that it wasn't Herod. That this king of glory, that you crucified the king of glory, and he was buried and he rose again, and he is the king. And it ruffled feathers. When Paul and Peter and them preachers preached, and they preached about sin, but they preached that Christ was slain, buried, rose again. That's always been the message, correct? That's always been amazing. Well, we're commanded, if nothing else, we're instructed, this is Resurrection Day. So it ought to be now a new emphasis on us telling the same message, that Christ is risen. That Christ has been crucified, that he's been buried, and that he's been risen. That's called us witnessing about Jesus Christ. You understand? We are called to be a witness.
Yes.
Everybody in here is called to be a witness. If you know Christ, then you're called to be a witness. You don't have to pray about it. You're already automatically called to do it. You don't have to see if it's the will of God. You don't have to pray. God, is it your will? Now think about how foolish it is. God, is it your will that I go talk to my lost neighbor that's going to hell about you, or should I let him go on? I mean, you don't have to pray that. Correct? So there's some things you don't have to pray about. You know, I've never prayed, God, should I go to church on Sunday?
Amen.
Never have. I've never prayed that on Sunday night or Wednesday night. I've always, it's already been a given, you know. And if I see someone, then it automatically ought to be the Lord's will that I speak to them about their soul, if nothing else, to find out if they're saved. And then if they ain't saved, to give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want us to look at something tonight, and I'm going to give you some information, but I'm going to preach to you as well. But let's look at the scripture here in Acts chapter 17. We'll start at verse 1. Acts chapter 17. We'll start at verse 1. Now when they had passed, now I'm going to have trouble with these words, and I can't talk real plain, but there's some words I can't pronounce. All right, so I apologize. I may know how to do it. It just don't come out. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preached unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, They let them go. Now, we'll stop right there, and there's no need to go any further. I want to call your attention to verse 6, and we want to use this, if we can, for a starting place, or at least a jumping off place. Look at verse 6. It said, when they had found him not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. These that have turned the world upside down and are come hither also. I want to ask you something tonight. We have a name in town. Everybody knows. Now, there's some people may not know exactly where the church is, but they've heard of Mountain State Baptist Church. Can you believe that there are people in town that don't know where the church is at? There is people, I don't understand that, but there is. I think it's, well, one, because we don't have a steeple, and two, because you can't see it for the trees. I think that might be why. But nevertheless, it's been here long enough, we ought to know. But can I tell you that if we had the name that we turned the world upside down, then they might know where we was at. Right. And I believe if there's ever a time that we need the name that we've turned the world upside down, it's now. See, I believe we're running out of time. Now, you may not believe that, but I do. I believe that. And I want you to understand that there's some things that needs to be taken care of. Whether you're aware of it or not, our town, our county is going to hell. And it's going to hell at a fast pace. All right, it's going to hell. Now, I mentioned this a few weeks ago, and that was when we got thrown off of Facebook, and maybe it'll happen again tonight. But nevertheless, I'm going to tell you a few things, and I'm not after your agreement. I'm just telling you what's happening. At Summersville, going to hell. It's going to hell because of the leadership of our town and our county. Yeah. Now, I'm not going to say that all these men are lost and these women that run it are lost. That ain't what I'm saying. But I can tell you this, that all of our city and our town, our county is evil because of the promotion. Now, we'll turn this on, make sure we get good, clear audio. I am appalled and ashamed that our county is in the promotion of liquor so bad. Amen. That it's being pushed. It's not, there's always been liquor in Nicholas County. There's always been a beer joint here and there. But if surely we're not so naive that we can see the sin and everything that accompanies the liquor that's coming into our county, that is involving our youth, involving our young people in every way, because it's promoted like everything's okay. Now, I don't know exactly whose fault it is. I know who could stop it. The town council and the mayor could stop it, and the churches could stop it, and this preacher could maybe help stop it. And there's some other probably elected officials that we could stop. But when we block off Main Street and we promote breweries and open container liquor, now I'm not on a soapbox. I'm going to tell you where sin's at, all right? And sin is rampant in our town. All right? And the reason is because our county and our town need Jesus. Amen. They need Jesus. And they block off town square to promote liquor. And then we have our parades and let the tractor bar be the main. If there's anybody turning the world upside down, it's the tractor bar and the mayor's place and the speakeasy under the old Nicholas County Bank. If there's any place turning the world upside down, that's who it is. All right? And they're turning it upside down because of sin. All right? And in case you don't know what's going on, in the basement of the Nicholas County Bank where the restaurant's at, down there, just so you'll know, there's a speakeasy down there. And that's a term during the when liquor was illegal, they'd go to a little door and they'd push up the little window. Yes, and you give a password and they let you come in and you get your liquor And they promoting it. Now, it's promoted in the county. And I'm not the only one that knows this. Everybody ought to know this if you live in the county. And that's promoted as a speakeasy in Somersville. Okay? Oh, it's wonderful. It's great. How many have people of reputation being involved in going there? Okay? And then we have people of reputation and everything going to the breweries that they set up on town, and they block it off. You can't even drive in town. From France up to the bank, they block it all off in front of the courthouse. You know, the same place where we put in the nativity scene. The same place where we had our nativity play. I don't know if we even should have it anymore, because we're trying to compete with evil. And you can't have the same people promoting evil and good. You can't have the backing of the mayor and all the town council for a nativity scene and a Christmas play and then let them set up beer afterwards. It don't meet. I just want you to know, it don't meet together. Okay? I'm just preaching tonight. What I'm doing is I just can't take much more.
Amen. Come on.
Okay? Then I have nothing wrong with anybody that don't have a brain and wants to go down a river in a raft. If you want to do that, I'm not going to do that. I got more sense than that. All right? But to open up our memorial park and bring in the drugs and the liquor and let them play. Where are we? Send our children to play ball and play soccer and everything, and then we shut it down and put in the hundreds of tents and let them bring the liquor. What I want you to understand is our town is being pushed or pulled into the dregs of sin, and it's overall. Now, if just humor me, you don't have to, just humor me if you would, but how many men has had trouble in the past before you got saved, had trouble with liquor? Anybody here have trouble with liquor? Oh, there's 5, 6, 7, huh? So y'all understand, don't you? Huh? Y'all understand? Can I tell you that the Tractor Bar is the prettiest beer joint I've ever saw. It's the prettiest place I ever saw. The cut rock and the tractor and the grist mill and all it looks beautiful. And that's what sin does. It shows you the shiny, like a little spoon or a spinner for a fish, but it don't show you the treble hooks of adultery and fornication and drugs and everything that's mixed in with it. And our county runs to it. What I want you to understand tonight is there's a time that God's people ought to start again turning the world upside down for the cause of Christ and talk about Christ and Him crucified and buried and risen again, for that is the only hope. And these are our people that it's affecting tonight. These are our people that we've been praying for that are lining up to the beer joint. When you come up, and I'm not even going to say the name because I think it's such a disgrace to call the beer joint across from Adam Tony's there on the hill, to call it what it is. I think it's a disgrace and a play on words. I think it's such a disgrace. Hear me tonight. I'm just preaching about sin. And I tell you, the only cure for sin is Jesus Christ, the crucified, buried, and risen again Jesus, the Son of God, the King of glory, who's coming again, and He's going to set things right. And there ought to be a church, there ought to be Christians who will stand for what God says, for what His Word says, that we might turn the world upside down. That's what we need. That's what we need. And I'm not against the people. I'm against the practices of people. I'm again sin. But there's woes again those who give their brother strong drink. There's woes and misery to those who drink it. And there's woes and misery to those who give it and sell it and promote it. What the Bible says. And I know that's not popular. I know that. But that's just the way it is tonight. Now, when we talk about turning the world upside down, it can't be done with lifestyle evangelism. It can't be done with just looking right. It can't be done with just making sure your yard's cut and your grass is cut and your flowers are pretty. It can't just be done because you dressed right and your hair's right and your clothing's right. No, it's got to be confrontational, because when you talk about Christ, it gets confrontational right quick. Because men and women, boys and girls, don't naturally want Jesus Christ. They want the enemy. They want the sin that comes with it. Are you listening to me tonight? And it's going to take people like us, Christian people, God's people, that will go and stop people in their tracks and tell them about Christ and know enough about the Scripture that when you reason with them, that you don't just say it, but that you know what you're talking about and that you're able to win them to Jesus Christ. We still okay? Y'all understand? There was a time when I growed up, when I was growing up, that things are different than they are now. And it's to our shame, it's to my shame, it's to this church's shame. Now listen to me. When I growed up, and before, when I was just little, it was a common place at the Cotton Hill Baptist Church to have street preaching on Saturday. Soul winning through the week and street preaching on Saturday to see people saved on Sunday. Commonplace. Down at the old Beckwith store, the post office, there used to be a quartet. Pat and Margaret Cook, and Beans and Geneva Cook. And they had an old microphone and a speaker. And they would draw a crowd down there at the old Beckwith post office and store. They're at the forks of going up Crow Holler. And on Saturday, they would sing and draw a crowd. And my papa would stand and preach and see people come to Christ. Then that would disperse, and they'd sing until they draw the crowd. And then they would preach, and the people would come. And they would sing till people come. And that's what built the Cotton Hill Baptist Church back in the 50s and the 60s. That's what built it to where there was 200 or more going regularly in an old country church. Can I tell you, it worked because they were promoting Jesus Christ. And they had the name that they was turning that place upside down. That was the name. Can I tell you that when I was a kid, that on the weekdays when Lum Tony and L.C. Jordan could find a place, they'd done it through the week and Keith B. Lung, but on Saturdays, they would all meet at the church house. And on Saturdays, they wasn't working. And Daddy and Lum Tony and L.T. Jordan and Keith B. Lung and Jerry Massey and some of them old men that had got saved, even Dave Painter, and some of them when Dave first got saved. And they'd go up the hollers of Tony Holler all around Dothan, through Scarborough, down around Whipple, down Mossy, all the way down Paint Creek to the turnpike across the hill. And the church went from just a handful to where they was gobs of people being saved, as high as 16 on a Sunday morning service, normal. Why? Because somebody was turning. You know what the name was? You know what they said? Whatever's going on down Dothan, they're turning the world upside down down at Dothan. That's what they used to say. John got saved during some of that time. John Johnson back there, I was saved during that time. Can I tell you, I understand, I know what I'm talking about. I'm not just telling you something. I've done seen it. And the phrase went, they're turning the world upside down. But we're not seeing that anymore. We're not seeing the places turned upside down. And the only thing they done back then was promote Jesus Christ, that He was slain, that He was buried, that He rose again. And they went and they talked and they pleaded. They would pray at the driveways. They was driveways they wasn't allowed up. They couldn't go up there because of fear of being shot. Even guns pulled on them, can I tell you? So they'd gather up at the end of the driveway and they'd pray and they'd pray and they'd pray till finally weeks go by and they'd motion for them to come up and talk to them. And they'd go up there and then listen to the gospel and be saved. Why? Because they were trying to turn the world upside down. Are you hearing me? And now we don't visit. We don't knock on the doors. Huh? We don't do like we used to do because we're too busy. We're too busy. And we're separated by a great goal. I saw this and I got to share it with you. I saw this somewhere on the Cheryl, maybe shown it to me. I don't remember. But a preacher said that today, now listen, I'm not mad at nobody. If it offends you, then it shouldn't. It ought to convict you. And we're living in a day where we're offended instead of convicted. But we're living now not to where we're concerned whether or not we're going to go to jail for preaching the gospel or be hurt or be persecuted on Sunday. What we're trying to decide is whether or not we ought to play soccer instead of go to church on Sunday.
That's right. Yeah.
That's where we're at. We've got things flipped around somehow. Huh? And we're not turning the world upside down. We need to turn Somerville upside down. Not to get a big church. Not to get a big number. But because our people's lost. Our people's lost. Can you sing me or just tell me the words of that second verse you just sung? Huh? Can you sing it again?
Yes, it's true. There have been days when I failed you. Lord, you know the many times I've gone astray. Lord, I've learned your love is stronger than my weakness.
Okay, do the first part. I thought it was the second part. Do the first part. Do the first part. That's all right. I'll let you sing it there all night long.
No one knew how alone.
Yeah, that's it.
I was feeling.
Now listen what he said.
And the emptiness I tried so hard to hide. Though I laughed and said my life was fine without you. I was covering up the secret tears I cried.
Now that.
Then one day, someone told me of your love.
Stop right there. Say it again.
Then one day, someone told me of your mercy.
Sing it again.
Then one day, someone told me of your mercy.
You know why? Because somebody was trying to turn the world upside down.
Right.
And they told me about His mercy,
right,
about His love, and about His grace. And it turned my world upside down. For I have not been the same since. Listen, I'm not perfect. I sin. But can I tell you, sin wears me out. When I sin, it bothers me. I can't leave it. I can't leave it. I have a problem. It starts eating at me. And I've got to get shut of it. Huh? I'm afraid that don't even happen much anymore. We just go on and say, well, that's life. Huh? We got to turn the world upside down. Huh? We ought to be a witness. Paul and Silas proclaimed Christ. You know what it got them? Death. Huh? You understand, we preached it the other Sunday, when Christ told them to follow me, to pick up your cross and follow me, and this has not changed. It wasn't going to a picnic.
Right. That's right.
Follow me and you're going to die too. Follow me and you're going to die too. Huh? Are you listening to me? When you step out to follow Christ, it ain't no easy believe in, give me a cut of the pie, I'm going to heaven, going to live like hell till I get there. No, I'm stepping out for Jesus. I'm going to pick up my cross. If I die, I die. If it's prison, it's prison.
Yeah.
If it's jail, it's jail. Huh? If it's persecuted, if I lose my head, I lose my head. Yeah. No matter, I'm going to follow Christ. That's what following Christ is. You understand that? It's not just going to heaven. Huh? Think about it. I'm talking about turning the world upside down. We got to tell them because they don't know. They don't know. People's got religion. Nicholas County is religious. You talk to them. You're hard-pressed to find somebody who says, no, I'm a sinner and I know it. You're hard-pressed to find a sinner.
Huh?
But their mindset on salvation is not Christ and Christ alone.
Right.
Right. It's because mommy and daddy were saved, or they was baptized, or they said a prayer. Can I tell you that hundreds of people that come to the altar don't even pray? Somebody else does it for them.
Right.
That's right.
That's
correct.
That's a fact.
Yes. Yeah.
We're missing something. We're missing something. And we need to be turning the world upside down. We'll give you 5-6 things here. Why we should tell others. Why should we tell others? Now, if you want this scripture, if you're writing anything down, you can write this down. I ain't going to read all to you. But you can write Matthew 28:18-20 down. Mark 16:15-16. Luke 24:46-48. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You can write all that down if you want to. Huh? But let me give you a few reasons here why you ought to tell others about Jesus. Because first of all, we've been commanded to. We've been commanded to. Think about that. We've been commanded to tell it. Huh? Are you listening to me? Now, the second reason that we ought to is because there is a hell. There is a hell. It's still hot, it's still burning, and men, women, boys, and girls are still going there. Do you know that? Huh? The third reason is we're to love our neighbor.
Right.
We're to love our neighbor. Well, surely if we love them, we ought to tell them about Jesus.
Right.
Wouldn't you allow? Huh? Fourth thing is that obedience, is that not evidence of salvation? I mean, unless I'm missing it, ain't obedience evidence? You preachers, y'all help me. Am I reading that wrong? That obedience is evidence. It ain't to get me saved, but it's evidence I've been saved. That obedience is evidence. Huh? And then, why should I tell others? Well, it'll help me have a closer walk with the Lord, because if I go talk to them, they're going to throw up my past. And they're going to throw up my present. My past is bad enough, but my present might be just as bad. Huh? Are you hearing me? They might say, well, did we not just see you? Did we not just hear you? Was you not just with us? Huh? Oh, are we still okay? Huh? And can I tell you something else? It'll cause us to search the Scriptures.
Yes.
How many here has conversed with a Jehovah's Witness at their door? Anybody here? How many, when they left, you said, man, I just don't know enough? Huh? I know what I know, but I don't know what they know. I don't know how to answer their. I don't know how to answer what they're saying. You ever done that? Can I tell you, when you go turning the world upside down, you'll search the Scripture that you'll be what Peter said to be able to give a man an answer for every man that asketh thee of the hope that lieth within you. We still okay? See, them right there is why we ought to tell others. But I got to inform you that if you're going to do it, you got to get set, because there's going to be trouble. I go through the Bible and I see a man by the name of Elijah. Elijah's walking down the road, and he meets Ahab. Ahab don't say, how are you today? He said, are you the one that's troubling Israel? How are you today, Elijah? He said, are you the one that's troubling Israel? Elijah said, no, you are. You are. Had just a little bit of conflict. Just a tad. Huh? How about Jeremiah 38, maybe? Go over and read in Jeremiah 38, and you'll find Jeremiah. He told him, he said, listen, boys, the Chaldeans are coming. If you don't go with them, that's everything's going to save you. They're going to kill everybody. They're going to kill our kids, the women. We're going to die because of our sin, the pestilence, everything. It's going to be bad. And they said, we don't like what you're saying. So they put Jeremiah in jail and said, let's kill him. Because he told them what they didn't want to hear. Can I tell you that they did not kick us off of Facebook Huh? Because we had too many services on livestream. It was the content. It wasn't status quo. Can I tell you that you want to bust up a group talking? Walk in and talk about Jesus. They'll scatter. Or they'll make it so hard on you, you'll want to scatter. Because it ain't easy. If you don't believe that, how come we don't talk to our family? Why is family the hardest? Huh? Because they know us. But had we been living the born again life, they would have expected it. Huh? We still okay? Had we been living the born again life, then they would wait when you got together and said, "All right, your turn. We know you're going to tell us."
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Can I tell you, it's not always popular when they know it's coming. You know why? Jesus said himself that there was going to be divisions. He said it would be. That they would be this one and this family, rise up again this family. This one again this family, and all for the cause of Christ. We still okay tonight? Then I look here at Paul and Silas, they... You know, this was not a compliment toward them. Can we go back and read? Let's look at verse 4 again, Acts 17, and I'm going to quit. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Men and women both, they were getting in line, they were believing. Verse 5, but the Jews which believed not. Now, I'm going to make this statement. And the only thing I can do is look at verse 5 to make this statement. If professing Christians get upset with you for giving the gospel, maybe they ain't. Because it says here, but the Jews which believe not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city on uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. When Jason hath received, and whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason, and of the other, they let them go. They got in trouble. I'm just wanting you to understand that Jesus ain't popular. Jesus ain't popular in the church sometimes. Not the Jesus of this Bible. He's not popular everywhere. He's not popular in every home that would fly a Christian flag. All I'm saying tonight is we need people that are willing to turn the world upside down again by telling that Jesus was slain, he was buried, he rose again. You know what, and this is to my shame, and Rick, and Boyd, and Dennis. This is our shame, Matt, R.C., this is our shame tonight. If Paul come to Summersville, you know what he'd do on Saturdays, Friday nights and Saturdays? He'd go down here to the Catholic Church. He'd go in and say, my message is... that Jesus Christ is God, and He was buried and rose again, and salvation's only in Him, and I'll answer any questions you have. But we don't. Because we're not figuring on turning the world upside down. We would go down to the kingdom hall and say, you got the wrong Jesus. Your Jesus is dead. My Jesus is alive. My Jesus is God. Your Jesus is Michael.
That's right.
We'll do that if they come to our house. Of course, we've got to meet him outside because we don't want to go again. John, when he says, don't let him in your house, they preach another gospel. So what we've done is years ago, we just was mean to them and run them off. So we don't have no testimony. And they incorporated in our doctrine that if you are Jehovah's Witness, you're going to get persecuted. And that builds them up steam instead of tells them the truth.
Amen, preacher.
What I'm telling you tonight is we need a people that'll turn the world upside down for the cause of Christ again. Well, what I'm looking at tonight, I'm looking at tiny ones,
yes,
all the way up to some older ones that was in the youth choir. You're the oldest one up there tonight, I'm sorry. You're the oldest one up there. We got every generation or every age group right here. If we can't turn Somersville upside down, shame on us. Father, help us tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. See you when.